This episode of Fermented Adventure the Podcast features Daniel Hare of CR Citrus. It's not just a garnish, but an enhancer of flavor in your drink. Find out all about CR Citrus and what Smoke and Connie has going on. Be sure to reach out to CR Citrus and let them know what you thought about the podcast. Cheers! Ladies and gentlemen, craft spirit enthusiasts, and those interested in the intoxicating world of craft distilleries, cideries, meaderies, wineries, and the occasional foray into breweries. It's Rich Shane, and welcome to Fermented Adventure, the podcast, where we bring you the fascinating people that are making the mash, fermenting, distilling, bottling, pouring, and delivering to you some of the finest libations in the world. Before we get started, here are a few housekeeping items. Thank you for bringing the podcast into wherever you are and whatever you're doing. We truly are grateful that you have chosen to listen and make us part of your day. It would mean the world to us if you left a 5-star review. This helps us climb in the rankings and it makes it easier for others to find us. Don't hesitate to leave us your comments as well. If the podcast didn't meet your expectations, tell us why. We're always striving to improve. You can find us at fermentedadventure.com. We are on Instagram and Facebook as Fermented Adventure. Email us at fermentedadventure@gmail.com. All right, FA Nation, let's meet our guest. He's Daniel Hare. I'm Rich Shane. This is Fermented Adventure, the podcast. Daniel, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Rich. It's good to see you. It's good to be here. And to follow up after meeting you and Don a couple of years ago at BCB in Brooklyn. So this is awesome. I feel like it's meant to be.
Yeah, we met at Bar Convent Brooklyn, and it's been a journey for us to get here today. You are known as Smoke and Connie, the man behind CR Citrus, if I got that right, or the other way around.
Well, that's correct. I'll take that.
I found that the moment that we began to talk, I said, this guy's fascinating. He's got such a story, such a rich history of life to tell. I can't wait to share that with our listeners at Fermented Adventure. So Smoke and Connie, CR Citrus, how did all that get started for you?
Well, it's a great one. I'd say that the name came first, as is the story here. So I had a dear friend in college, Paul Chait, who thought that the name Daniel wasn't quite Irish enough. And so his nickname for me was Connie, and I just became known as Connie down during my young, reckless years in Tucson, Arizona, at the University of Arizona. And I just kind of kept that as a nickname. We lost Paul tragically, and I dedicated myself to keeping the Connie myth alive. And so if you were my friend, feel free to call me Connie. And as I ventured into Instagram, and it was essentially just taking pictures of food and really early on just tethering myself to Traeger content because I was such a devout follower, that from that point it became Smoke and Connie. And then, you know, people get a catchy nickname. That's a heck of a lot more exciting than Daniel. So I was down with being called Smoke and Connie. And then the CR Citrus came in when I realized I could only take so many pictures of, you know, tri-tip and pork tenderloin. And I didn't want to be that guy who's just taking pictures of his food because we all know those people. And I...
Hello, right here.
Yeah.
Bottles, food, you know, cocktail glasses.
I know. Yeah.
Things that don't move.
That's right. Well, that's an easier project. Object, exactly. So I came across the opportunity to kind of just take pictures and tap into my life in kitchens and hotels and bars, which was before my teaching career. And it was about, I think it was 2017, that within November 2017, I got a Traeger, so a pellet smoker. And I visited my dad's childhood home in Eagle Rock, which is just a suburb of Los Angeles. And I realized that in the backyard of this childhood home, 100-year-old house, was heirloom Meyer lemon trees. So a handful of those. And gathered up all the lemons, which was about 1,000 lemons, gave them to friends in bars and restaurants. And then I was left with 200 lemons. And, you know, as the saying goes, when life gives you lemons, for me, it was, you know, make a business. And so I started slicing and smoking them just because I was trying to do everything I could on that trigger. And a lot of trial and error, you know, you've got a lot of sugar, you know, that sour and natural caramelization, but you can burn those things really quickly as well. Too thick, it was going to be hard to put in a drink. Too thin, and it was going to just incinerate. So I really tried to work on it. And by the time we got to Christmas, we gave out our Christmas cards and we put a little sample of these lemons in with the cards. And came back in the new year and people said, hey, love the Christmas card, but I need more of that fruit. And I said, I'm all done. I'm all out of lemons. And one of the beauties of living here in California is that everybody's got fruit trees in their backyard. And so that fostered people saying, hey, how about oranges? How about grapefruit? How about, you know, pomegranate? And trying everything and realizing this works, this doesn't work. And all just cutting it by hand and just kind of mixing around and doing it. And it wasn't until COVID, as is so many stories that are dealing with a significant life change. It wasn't until COVID that I realized this is something that brings me great joy. It also brings other people great joy, but this is something that I could monetize and I could hang my hat on. And so that became the official beginning, April 2020 of CR Citrus. And the CR, I get people that say it. I'm an old English teacher, so I love the double entendre of Sea Hour. But also the CR is Campus Road, which is a shout out to my old man and his childhood home, which is on Campus Road in Los Angeles and in Eagle Rock. So like that, I like the fact that it ties it all in. So
this is exactly this is already the first couple of minutes has exceeded what I expected, Daniel. That fascinating story. And what I really appreciate right off the bat is how you pay tribute to others, that it's not just Daniel Hare. It's this gentleman who started calling you Connie. Yeah. And that kind of stuck, and the lemons in the backyard and this just whole experience where you have people in your life that weave themselves, that impact you. Yeah. And create. So just for people to understand, when you talked about the lemon trees and what you were doing with your Traeger, these are unlike any, these are not these dehydrated fruit slices that you find that maybe some bars are making, they're buying on the open market. These are special. These are different. These are flavorful. These are creative. And there's a difference. I would say, you're driving a high-end luxury vehicle when you're adding these to your cocktails. So talk a little bit about the growth of where CR Citrus and Smoke and Connie, really, this became a business for you, not just an insert into a Christmas card.
Exactly. So that was, it was fortuitous. And I know that I don't want to diminish the tragedy of COVID and how it changed so many people's lives. I think it also, when harnessed properly, or if you were fortunate enough, it created a new way to look at things. And that was in that change of perspective for me was the fact that, you know, people kept bringing fruit and people kept saying, I love this. And I was shipping it all over the country. For me, is that sense that it also opened up new opportunities to connect with people. Case in point is a gentleman named Justin Brown at Arosy, California, which would be in the central portion of the state, in between Bakersfield and Fresno. And Justin connected on Instagram and said, hey, I really like what you're doing. And there were a lot of people that were doing that, which was wonderful. But his was an especially important connection at that point. He said, I'm a fifth generation citrus grower in the central portion of the state, which is that moves a little bit of water. That's a big deal. And through his access to the citrus, Justin said, you know, Sunkist came in and before COVID, they cleared out 80% of my yield. So I'm left with this ugly fruit that's just kind of in a warehouse. I like what you're doing. I'd like to try your product. And so I sent him a sample and he said, what are you doing from a supply standpoint? How are you getting inventory? And I said, I'm stuck. I'm sick of going to the grocery store and buying 50 pounds of oranges. And he said, I'll tell you what, if you pay the shipping, I'll send you the fruit. And so I had 200-300 pounds of oranges delivered to my home.
Oh my God.
That I got to break down. And that agreement existed for about a year and a half before I even met him. And then I met him. And then I said, now we really got something. And this is a really good human being who understands and respects the land and produces amazing fruit, different varietals, cherries. And we work in partnership with one another in the sense that he provides amazing fruit. He provides, we now work together so that I can get raw and finished fruit from him. I've set up and modulated all of my production up there. And he is the only other person who knows how this magic thing comes together. So he holds the secret and I hold the secret. So
you mentioned there just his oranges and some cherries, and you mentioned earlier pomegranates. For those, they should be going on the website. And where right. would they find you to find the products that you have? What's the website?
No, okay. So it's www.crcitrus.com. I'm happy to say as of about 2 months ago, I have national distribution through Reserve Bar in Mini Bar, which is pretty phenomenal. So they've built out the website and, you know, you can partner with different spirits brands, and but I get much more exposure on there. So, and I'm not afraid, you know, most of the packing is done by me. I'm not afraid to throw a bandana in there or a little swag, some stickers. I grew up in kind of the Southern California surf and skateboard culture. So I'm all about a t-shirt, a sticker, and a hat and those types of things. So I like knowing that the brand is growing organically throughout the land. So,
well, I can verify. In our box came a bandana and some stickers. And, you know, look, for us, that's fun. And I think it's recognizing that it's that value add, right?
Yeah.
It's, yeah, you could have gone to the website, placed your order, gotten what you wanted, but then you delight your customers. You amaze and delight your customers, not only with those little bits of swag, yeah. but for the product you offer. Now, talk about the different varieties of what people can find when they order with CR Citrus.
No, that's a great point, Rich. So the one thing that I've learned over time is I like to move quickly. I'm ready. That fruit's got to be ready. And that the fruit has its own timetable. So I have learned very carefully this concept of seasonality. So even when we talk about oranges, which largely we have available year round, the oranges vary in what we have. So are they navels? Are they Valencias? And then the more exotics, which would be like a blood orange or a Caracara, which I like to consider the Cadillac of the citrus family. So Caracara has this wonderful pinky orange flesh. It is amazingly flavored as well. So we have all of those at different portions throughout the year. I do a regular smoke, which is my 3-part blend that I use, but then I also do a seasoned blend. And I previously had used tahine, which is ubiquitous in food and in beverage. But I've recently partnered with a group out of Austin, Texas called Ocotillo Salt. And what I like is that they have many of the same principles of tahine, but maybe half the ingredients. And so you talk about more of an authenticity, some heat, but also with a citrus forward blend, which really works very well with my citrus. Plus, I think they're phenomenal guys. So I really like supporting them and, just kind of building our brands together. So I offer all of those. A certain portion of the year, I'll offer cherries, which is a phenomenal thing. You haven't lived until you've dropped one of those, a smoked cherry in your old fashioned, or put it on a charcuterie board and picking up, notes on a, like a salty cheese that partner with that smoke. I keep the stem on, I keep the stone in it. And with the stone in it, that smoke really, really holds on a level that is significantly different than an orange. I'm just because I'm always tinkering. I love that. That's what I get to do. I'll do olives, a smoked olive. That's next level, Rich, just in the sense of, again, for your martini or, put into a bruschetta or on a charcuterie plate. And then I've even ventured into, I did a party a couple of weeks back, about a month back. And I got some raw cashews and raw almonds just in bulk, smoked those. And that's everybody can smoke those on a pellet smoker. But then I get so much, I also get limes. Sorry. I do limes, and spicy limes as well. I get about a mason jar's worth of fresh lime juice, which is hard to come by. You get most lime juice and it's been watered down or and such. And I get about a mason jar for every 10 pounds. So you can imagine I've got a freezer full or a fridge full of lime juice. And I like how that creates, instead of saying, I'm not going to sell that, although I do give them for events every now and then. But I said, how about if I take those nuts, they're smoked, I put the lime juice on them and I get the natural sugars and the sourness, but also the depth of flavor from that lime juice, smoke that into the nuts. So now they're at a point where they've changed their consistency. And then I cover them in that Ocotillo salt, and then they get more lime, and then I ramp up the heat, bake that flavor in. And now CR Citrus is a nut. I'm a nut, you know, I mean, I've got nuts for sale. So, people love those. And I've always said, I'm not, you know, I don't deal in spirits. I don't have my brand. I don't sell, you know, some juice, but I am spirit adjacent. And this is a nice extension in that lane, in the sense that we sit down, we are having a, you know, cocktail or a beverage, and we look and we say, I want to have something. I want to just nibble on something. I don't want to do a full nosh. I just want a little handful of nuts. And then now I've got something that is flavorful, familiar, but is actually a compliment to the garnish, and the garnish is a compliment to the flavors in your glass. And it's like that. It's nice when things line up like that, right? I mean, just in your palate appreciates that, and you appreciate that. So I've had some real success. Many of my accounts, local accounts, they love the fact that they can sell a half pound bag of nuts. And now all of a sudden you've got, for a party, something with that consistent flavor, right? I was explaining this to somebody. We don't think twice about throwing a party and saying, oh, the napkins match the tablecloth and the tape. We aesthetically, we think about it with our eye. We want everything to match. But do we do the same thing flavor wise? You know what I'm saying? And it's like a chef does, a good bartender does. Why can't you, you know, flesh those flavors out and that symmetry out in the way in which you are approaching it as a consumer, as a guest at that party? So
the beauty of what you offer is, as a consumer, you've got all these products available. As a business, as a bar or restaurant, somebody that wants to have, as you said, spirit adjacent product, you're ready and available. So there's so many varieties of options that people can go on and select those cherries. Now, according to you, I've lived, because I've had one of those smoked cherries. And let me tell you, they are phenomenal. And to, you know, look, BarCon in Brooklyn, there's a lot of activity. There's a lot of drinking that goes on.
Yeah.
And I can't believe I forgot about those cherries, but you brought me back to that experience that smoked cherry, because we went around, we went back, got some bourbon, dropped it in that, dropped that. In fact, I think we took a handful, as I remember. And Dawn and I were going around at different booths and saying, hey, you like their whiskey, you like their bourbon, try with the cherry. So we kind of were already promoting you.
I think I owe you guys a royalty check. That sounds great. You're hustling for me. Well, we like to call that like that ratatouille moment, right? When it just brings you back, and there's a chance that there's something about that flavor just 2 years, but it also could have brought you back to your childhood. Like it could have, to me, there's something really powerful about our sense of smell and the connection, direct connection to our memory. And obviously the relation between smell and taste, but we park a lot of memories right here, and we lose sight of that.
If you can't see it on the podcast because it's audio, Daniel's like touching his face and mouth. So that's what he's referencing.
I forgot. Well, I thought that this was on a major network, Rich. I'm sorry. I thought I was on TV.
Sorry to, you know, we're slumming it today, Daniel. Maybe it's that connection with you now that's going to raise us up. We'll get this covered on the major news networks. This is a happening. Breaking news.
This just in.
Right. Now, you mentioned those olives and, like, wow, smoked olives. And so we have had as a guest Five Dirty, and they make a ready to drink martini, which is probably some of the best ready to drink martini we've ever had. They make the dirty and they make the double dirty. Yeah. And I would love now that you mentioned it, right now, I got to stick that smoked olive in there just to play with the brininess and everything else. I'm thinking, wow, what a great idea for my home bar to impress or to enjoy with my guests and at that cocktail bar. If you're doing something and you want to stand apart, smoked olive. But now I got the nuts at the bar. You're an entrepreneur. You're a creative guy. Take those nuts, those cashews.
Yeah.
Maybe what you do is that goes into a blender. So now you're making something that you're adding to that cocktail that's going to add that creamy, smoky nature to it. And those bartenders, they can have a field day. They figure it out. I'll just give them the idea and have them call you for the product.
Exactly. Well, I know that, you know, obviously central to Mexican cuisine is like mole. I mean, that's got 25 ingredients in it, if not more, in that sense of, you know, macerating a nut, getting that down all the way to a form that always becomes liquid. And then, you know, taking that relationship and a mole like a bitter, like in the way in which you can just put a very small distillation of that into a drink and elevate flavors. So you're always making me think, Rich. I like that.
I don't know. You're making me think. I'm thinking, all right. So we have two bags here. We have the, and I'm glad that you spoke about the Caracara because you checked it off and I didn't know what that was. Here I've got, this bag is the Caracara, the organic lime and the blood. Now this is, you have the spicy version and you have the non-spicy version.
Okay.
How did you decide to do like, all right, you smoke these. And then now you're adding spices to it. What was the thought to change that flavor profile or, you know, what were you thinking that this would be used with or accompanied?
No, great point. So, so much of the genesis for this product or for this whole business was COVID in the sense that even though I had been a bartender, even though I love shaking it, a shaker and bringing people together, you know, and seemingly every party I throw, everybody's in the kitchen first and foremost, as is the case in many parties. And then you get everybody a drink and then everybody settles in. Right. And then and whatever it is. And if that's NA, if that's low, if that's sparkling water, if that's straight bourbon, whatever it is. And I think in that became the sense I knew that I wanted to, if I'm not making the drink, that I wanted to be a part of everybody's drink. I wanted to be able to put that in everyone's beverage. And in that is that sense of, can I do something that is bringing out the flavors that you're trying to work with? And I have a lot of friends that drink mezcal, a lot of friends that drink tequila, bourbon, rum, scotch. I even have friends that drink vodka and gin.
It's like, I have vodka friends too.
I have vodka friends too. There's some, they have, you know, I think they have a support group. But I talk with Fred Minnick and we say that vodka is the first draft of all other spirits. And they just say, we're good. All right, let's, you know, refine it more, put more water into it. Like to me that it's the beginning and then that's the English teacher in me, I guess. But seeing everybody put their drinks together and then saying, oh, so you're having a margarita. Cool. We don't think twice about, do you want to put salt on that around the rim? Got it. And then I started thinking about it. And then you have people saying, oh, no, we're going to put spicy salt. And they put it in. And everybody loves aesthetically how that looks. And then they take a sip and they're like, awesome. It never tastes as good as that first sip. Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking about a really elaborate, like a tequila drink. And then it, all that, for lack of a better term, all that other crap just starts floating around in the drink. And you're like, I don't want to do this. And so I looked at it and I said, I always say, don't call it a garnish. You know, I think if you have dried a garnish, I that's just, even though this might sound like a little nuance, that's different than what I'm doing. I'm offering something that is an enhancer of flavor within your drink. So I said, what if I can bake those flavors, sweet, spicy. Sweet is going to happen natural. Sour is going to happen naturally. But what if I can put the spiciness into the fruit and bake it to a point that it's not going to fall apart? Like I'm sure you trying the spicy, you put that in your drink. You know, I always put it right up on a big ice cube. It picks up that flavor right on the palate, in a sense that you know that you're drinking rum or tequila or mezcal, and you're going to get those flavors. And I don't want to compete with those flavors. I want to elevate those flavors. But the first one you should smell is the citrus. And the citrus then sitting on that big ice cube is going to break down over time. And then I always say, by the end of the drink, your reminder that it's time, or while you're waiting for your next drink, pluck that piece of fruit out, because it is the ultimate flavor bomb of all of the spirit that you've just consumed. Initially, it's fruit. By the end, it's bourbon or it's tequila or it's mezcal. And you eat it and you're like, oh my gosh, what's the true testament of that? I can still taste the smoke. I can still taste the fruit. And I can still taste the spicy if it is one that's set up like that. And for me, that's pretty cool, right? Unless you're taking 3 hours to complete your drink. I can't speak to that. But if you drink at my pace, then yeah, you're ready.
Well, let me say, if at any point up until now, I referred to the CR citrus as a garnish, you have my heartfelt apology. I'm very sorry.
No.
And what I can share with you is about the nose. I haven't, you know, we've had these, we enjoy these, we share these with cocktails, with friends, with ourselves. But the bag here, I was waiting to open because I didn't want to open all of them.
Right.
But the smoke, the citrus, the orange, the, you know, the lime, everything. I love just the essence of smoke on here that gives me the understanding that this is that toasted marshmallowy citrus kind of nose on here.
Yeah.
And it's very special.
Yeah.
I'm just, as you've grown this as a company, what has been, you know, those aha moments? I know that you said, hey, friends are bringing you fruit and they want you to make these for friends. But what are some of those aha moments that you've experienced as you've grown this company for you?
Again, there's that true debt to family and friends who said, give this a shot. Like, you're always the guy who's, you know, looking at a recipe and tinkering with things or mixing a drink, saying, how about this and this and this? And so I think I have an eye for the combination and blending of flavors. And it, you know, it's one thing to say, hey, make it for one drink. It's another thing to say, make something that's going to be a part of your life. I for me, that the aha moment was people saying, this is really different. And, you know, I always say when I gave those lemons to people, nobody's going to be more honest with you than friends and family, right? And so when friends came back and said, this is awesome, and family doing the same thing, I was a fan. I've had some people who say, it doesn't fit in my drink. Well, fine. Or people who say, hey, no, I can't buy it because I don't drink. And I say, great. And I totally respect that. But we now live in a world where you can walk and have any beverage you want, but you want to elevate flavor. I think about the preponderance of sparkling waters that are on the market. Love it. And I love that somebody can feel if they have, they no longer drink. How about that? They no longer drink, but they want to have that ritual. Many times they speak to the ritual that is missing. They want to prepare it. They want to put the same care into it. It's just, they want to have it feel, they want to feel different when drinking. They like that. They like the fact that I'm elevating this. I'm elevating my non-alcoholic beverage. I think that was an aha moment. I'd be remiss if I didn't speak, Rich, to when I, in April 2020, just because I was a kid who used to write letters to his favorite athletes to try to get autographs. Like I've always been that kind of guy. And I had samples and I now had inventory and I had a little momentum. And I said, how do I get in touch with Fred Minnick? How do I get in touch with Sam Sifton? How do I get in touch with, major figures in food and beverage? And I wasn't trying to get us anything. I just wanted an honest feedback. And I just said, let's move the needle here a little bit. And I'll never forget that I sent, and many of them were, you know, it was COVID. Everybody was a little bit nicer, right? And so people responded. I got a handwritten letter from Fred Minnick, who I still idolize. I mean, I just, his word as kind of the gold standard in the bourbon industry. And he wrote a letter and said, you really have something amazing here. You know, I love it. My wife loves it. We put it in our bourbon and it's a nice compliment to the flavors. And then he wrote, someday, I hope we can work together. And I just, you know, I was like a little kid getting a Johnny Bench autograph. Right. So, I thought about that and that's April, 2020. And then it was about a year and a half ago. I got a phone call out of our Instagram. I got a message from Fred. Hey, give me your number. Let's chat. And we have done events together. And I'm like, man, that's an aha moment. That's an aha moment in the sense of, wow, this is coming together kind of insanely beautiful, just in the sense of how I'm just a guy with a smoker and a dream, right? I mean, I got access to the fruit and I just said, it keeps going and going and going. I've now gotten, you know, as we're talking, I've got a buddy who's on a plane going to Berlin for BCB, Bar Convent, Berlin. And he said, you want to come? And I said, no. I said, bring the fruit though. And I said, you know, I'm not famous, but my fruit is. And I stand by that. Between that and the fruit abides, it just keeps going, right? I mean, it is, you see it one way, you see the fruit on the tree, you just see it all the way through your flavor. And it's not until, you know, you take a bite out of it and you're just left with a rind and then you discard that rind. That's the end of the entire journey of that fruit. But man, what a ride. You know what I'm saying? Like it's been on the tree. It's been taken care of with love. It's been gathered. It's been, you know, shepherded throughout the process. And just, it had so many natural flavors in it, but we just added flavor upon flavor upon flavor upon flavor. And then you get to be a part of that. How cool is that? Right. And then you get to decide its end. Whoop, take a bite and we're done.
Well, the decision from my end, at least for your fruit, is I eat everything together. I find that as you talked about the idea that everything's soaking into the fruit, it's all there. Yeah. I want to enjoy everything, and even dried like this, I eat everything. And what this is, I get this experience. Now you're a barbecue guy, right? Yeah. I love tender barbecue. I love well-cooked, slow and low barbecue, full of flavor, but you don't lose the flavor of that animal, because that you're making, whether it's ribs or whether it's brisket or whatever it is, you still want to have that essence of this beautiful animal that is giving life to these wonderful flavors, right?
Yeah. But
if you tell me you're smoking somewhere and I don't get smoke, I'm a little bit disappointed. You can see some of that bark, the smoke ring, but you don't taste smoke. And for me, as a lover of smoky flavor, peated, you know, whiskeys and things of that nature, I bite into this. I enjoy it. I get the citrus notes. I get the sweetness. I get the sour. I get some bitterness of the rind, but I think the smoking technique takes away some of that bitterness, but I get smoke. And while we've been chatting, I ate a couple of these pieces, enjoyed, delighted in the flavor, but I still got a little bit of that smoke going on.
Yeah.
And you've made me happy. You've made my palate happy. And this is, for me, I don't want to just do the fruit. I want to do the fruit, the rind, and get the whole experience. Now, for those that do not see you on the screen, you'll see Daniel in the snippet before we post this. But when you were talking about that Fred Minnick moment, the experience initially with that letter, your eyes sparkled, your eyes lit up.
Yeah.
And it was magical. It was such an understanding that as you talked about your journey and, you know, just people that you get that recognition and it says, I'm onto something.
Yeah.
No, and that's what it was there that I saw in your eyes.
Yeah. Thank you. It's real. It's real. It's real in the sense that validation at that high level. I mean, I got a few more aha moments. I'd say another one is before the Fred, kind of coming right out of the doldrums of, no, it must have been 2021, December 21. I was just getting things started because I still was working in education, and I didn't start making this my job until September 21. And which was odd in itself because it was the first time in 46 years that I didn't have a first day of school. And that was a trip, right? To kind of change the mindset. But it was kind of cobbling it together. And obviously I would say at that moment, this is probably blending into another question, but at that moment it was, hey, I'm going all in on this, right? And if this is the poker game of life, I just pushed it toward the middle. That sense of what do we got here? And that was my first real experience of seasonality and where's the fruit? How am I going to sustain this? And I just gone and picked up, and it's one of life's great pleasures, is a rather kind of normal or kind of uneventful drive, which is to drive through the middle part of California and to get to arrive at the farm and just see the groves and then the smells and all of that. And it's just really peaceful. But the most important part is to load up the truck and bring it back and just know that I came there, it was just me. I come home and it's 500 pounds of fruit as my passengers, and they just fill up that car. And I'm always like, all right, now I'm ready to go. I don't get back till middle to late in the day. But if I could, I'd just start slicing that. I'd just start going just because I just want to get into this stuff. So it was one of those trips. I was coming back and I was actually making dinner for my family. And I got a call and I'm trying to juggle the phone. It's, hey, Dan, it's Casey Metzger. And Casey Metzger at the time was an employee of Traeger. And his kind of lane in Traeger was he was the bar and cocktail guru for Traeger. So he had sliced and smoked every conceivable combination. He'd been sponsored by Traeger, written cookbooks, all of this. And he was one of those guys that I initially had written a letter to. And I said, hey, try this. Let me know what you think. Here's a t-shirt, whatever. And he came back to me and he says, hey, I got a thing for you. And I said, all right. And he said, I need about 10 pounds of fruit. I said, let's play ball. Let's do it. And just for context, 10 pounds of fruit it's 10 to 1 raw fruit to finished fruit. So I'm going to have to, looks like I just found a job for those 500 pounds I picked up. So I already know where they're going. So I got it all set up and I said, all right, what do we got? And he said, well, it's kind of a big deal. And he said, do you want to get it here? And the nature of, at that time, especially my production was so slow. I said, it's going to be touch and go right up until the minute before, and I'll FedEx them to you. And I said, better yet, I'll hand deliver them. And he said, you what? And I said, I'm in LA, you're in Salt Lake, I can get it there. And I said, what are we doing this for anyway? And he said, it's the Traeger Christmas party.
Wow.
And I said, oh, I was literally, one, to render me speechless is hard to do, Rich, if you can believe that. So I was speechless and I moved heaven and earth to fly through a snowstorm with a bag full of citrus, one carry-on bag, got it there, took it right from the cab, airport straight to the party. And I showed up and I'm in there with the 100 person catering team and the bartending team, and there's thousands of people going to this thing. And I walked in and I never met Casey Metzger before, and I'm texting him and I'm saying, I'm getting closer and closer. And I show up with two authentic kind of bright red citrus bags that they have right out in the field that they bag them in. And I'm walking in with that. And I said, all right, I'm coming in. And he says, how will I know it's you? And I said, you'll know. And I walk in.
And you can't mistake me.
The citrus is here, and I'm lifting up the two bags and I hop up on a table and I do a demo for the entire thing. And it was just magic. And I'm like, man, this is what it's about. And that, launched a great working relationship. And it's just another one of those points that you never know who's going to be there to help you. Never know how they're going to be there to help you. I learned very early on from my father. Everybody knows somebody, and that's great. But what are you going to do with it so that you can help people, right? Are you going to just use that to say, hey, look at what I get? Or are you going to say, I got that and I appreciate it, and I'm going to give twice for this? That's what it's about. Yeah.
Safer, this story, and you are the exact reason why Dawn and I and our fermented adventure, because what happens is it's the people we meet along the way, their mindset, their business acumen, their creativity, they're interesting, fascinating people that teach us lessons, that remind us how beautiful it is to wake up every day. And let's face it, it's an orange, it's a lime, it's a caracara, but then it's what you bring to it. And the relationships that grow from just one little idea, little smoke, little Traeger, little, you know, spicy here and there. And then the next thing you know, it's about these memories, these experiences that no matter how big your bank account or how, you know, where you go, you'll always have the ability to spend some time in your head looking at maybe some pictures and reliving that moment. Yeah. And that's what you've done again. We're reliving that moment, and podcasts are beautiful because people can go back and say, I want to listen to that Daniel Hare episode again because that impacted me, or it made me think that there's some things I can do, or I want to make some great cocktails and I better order this stuff, especially those cherries and those olives. And if he ships those nuts, I want that from the nut guy too. So that would be great.
Well, you thank you for that. I'd be remiss if I didn't tell a story in it.
Pardon the interruption. Thank you so much for listening to Fermented Adventure, the podcast. Could you do us a favor? Hit that follow button. It makes it easier for others to find us, and it helps us climb in the rankings. Take a screenshot of the podcast, post it, tag us, and let everyone know that you listen to the Fermented Adventure podcast. Now, back to our podcast. You tell a story, because I'm going to nose this spicy one.
Perfect.
And it kind of smells like this spicy fruit roll-up, which I really love. But you get the, I'm not going to start breaking out ingredients, but I'm thinking there's some chili powder and paprika. See, I'm not going to do it, but I will do it.
No, exactly.
Little cayenne on there. Yeah. But whereas Justin Wilson would say, little cayenne,
Cayenne.
Yeah. But this is such a wonderful nose. These are the ones I love adding to, like you said, those margaritas, those mezcal or those tequilas that really, I can say, I don't know if we've done these with bourbon or whiskey because just the spices, but I'm sure there's something that could
spicy,
be made with that.
Not so much. I'm kind of a traditionalist, but I definitely do just the straight smoke. And seeing you eat it, I've got buddies.
Why don't you eat it?
No, what's wrong here? You remind me of a friend who is always just a real high energy guy, and he's hiking all over California, just did a big run in Catalina. And he's finding that, you know, they go on these endurance runs, 20 plus hours, and they fill their backpack and they've got all the power, liquid protein and all this stuff. But he said the thing that, and this was kind of an inspiration, and that's what so much of the production is. He said, you're drinking water is number one. He goes, but you get sick of that taste. You're exerting yourself to such a level. It's so dry. And so I would make them a little bit, knowing that the shelf life was less of an issue, I would make them a little bit thicker so I can, kind of vary the thickness and make them almost like a fruit roll up so that I would keep them, scale back the dehydration. So they have a little fruit in them, but all of a sudden, but they've been dehydrated to the point that he's not walking around with eight oranges. But if I could tell him that I could give him a pound and pack it nice and flat, that's a pound he, happily will put in his pack as opposed to 10 pounds of oranges. And also treat them at such a point you don't have to throw away the peel. You're not, when you're on these endurance runs and stuff, you don't want to stop and peel and take the trash. You're just eating those. And he's like, I love them. So those are for Zimmy and his pack of wild adventurers who go, they've done stuff in Palm Springs and Catalina all over. And I liked, again, The fruit's famous. I'm not. I'm just as just like the guy in Berlin. I just as happily give them a bag and say, you guys, I hope you're thinking of me while you're doing that crazy endurance stuff. So
I'll tell you what, if I'm on a, look, I just finished a bike ride over the weekend for the MS. And I'll tell you what, give me an idea. This is great to carry with you. Cause to your point, these are great for fitness aficionados. These are great for just little snacks, just to change up, just to kind of give you a different mouth flavor. Yep. This for the spicy, you still get that smokiness, but it's almost like you get so many different things attacking you. You know, this comes in, you get the spiciness, you get the paprika or the chili powder, the saltiness. There's so much going on. And I love the idea of saying, I get sick of drinking this, or I get sick of eating this. Now I've got all this citrus goodness that's been that's been amplified, right? Because you've taken all those nutrients and you've dialed them into a dehydrated or smoked and dried product. Right. This is awesome. This is you know, I feel like we were, and I don't want people to get the wrong idea, but we met that one time. You sat behind me in science class in high school. I don't know what happened. We went our separate ways. And now we get to see each other at that 20-year reunion and we're playing catch up. And I'm like, why didn't we ever keep together? I don't know what happened, Daniel.
No, I appreciate it. I appreciate your energy and I appreciate the way you are taking in the product. Like that, for me, that's
you're just watching me eat it.
I just did I say taking it in or just inhaling it?
No, that's true.
I'm flattered. I think that's what it's about. I also, you know, we've talked a lot about, excuse me, and this is, you know, I'm going to sound a little bit like an English teacher here for a second. Obviously, the present is a present, and the future is wherever this fruit's going to take me. I'm in a pretty good place now. It can only get better. But let's not overlook or diminish the connection to the past. Even in our days now, if we stop our day, and I always think about this little narrative, as we stop our day and we say, it's 5 o'clock, and we put a timestamp on it, and we say, it's time for me to unpack today, unpack a week. I want to be with people I love, and I want to just escape for a little bit. And that is totally okay in whatever form it takes. And I'm looking toward the future, but the past, is it possible that I drink what I drink and I drink how I drink? Because of what I was learned, what I learned, or what I
absolutely,
you know, I'm a bourbon guy because this person in my life is a bourbon guy. Got it. And I, maybe this is too much, but it's worth a shot. What if the citrus brings us back? You alluded to this early on as like a marshmallow on a campfire. What if I'm a power broker in New York City and I'm sitting there and I've edged my way through the bar and I'm sitting down and I'm just about ready to stop and I've got my regular drink and this thing appears on the top and I'm quick to diminish it or just dismiss it. But I look at it and I'm like, oh, this is different. And I take a smell and all of a sudden before I drink my very overpriced, you know, bourbon or scotch or whatever it is, and I take a sip and I'm like, oh, and everything just puts me in the time travel back to a little kid sitting around a campfire saying that used to make me very happy. That brought people together. And that was a central part of how I knew how to validate happiness and sense of place. It could happen. And I'm thinking that there's something really kind of beautiful that I am, and I'm not saying you have to go to a bar to do it. You know, my wife and I, we create that space every time she pours a, you know, tapache or a, you know, sparkling, or we put it in one of our cocktails and we have our ceremony. And there's that sense of we are celebrating right now and how thankful we are and many more days of being able to do this. But let's also bring ourselves back to when we were, you know, teaching at a boarding school and man, we couldn't afford anything. And now look at where we are now. Like we get to have a wonderful family and all of this. And that to me, that's cool. That's what it's about. I want people, you know, central to the growth of this was positive vibes as a mantra that brings people together. I put it on my hats. I put it on my bandanas. I put it in my heart. I put it in every product, put it on stickers and in positive vibes. I have found, And I've worn this hat that I'm wearing, which you can't know, nobody else can see, but it's a blue and white trucker hat. I wear this every time I fly. All right. And I'm walking through the airport and I might be dressed up or whatever, but I've got a baseball hat on. I've got this baseball hat on. And the number of times, Rich, that I get stopped and people just go, oh, positive vibes. Wait, what's that? And it's an airport. Hey, I don't know these people. I'm walking through TSA. I'm walking to, you know, gate 3, and somebody goes, positive vibes. And I look at it short of somebody saying, hey, I'm just not down with a trucker cap. That's not my thing. Or why the hell is a middle-aged man wearing a ball cap? You know, cool. Those people, they woke up like that. But to somebody, and I'd say many people, they look at it and they're like, well, right on. I'm into positive vibes. And that is a message that instantly puts a smile on your face. People like that. Yes, and it, you know, yeah. It's like people, you know, somebody saying, I'm not into positive vibes. Well, that might go deeper than you and me. So I love keeping it in the airport realm. Back that fateful trip to Salt Lake City for the Traeger event. It was, being on the East Coast, that sometimes weather has its own plan saying, you know what? You are going to go. You're not going to go. It's going to be this flight. It's going to be this flight 6 hours later. And here I am in sunny Los Angeles saying, I thought we got away from all this. I thought I didn't have to deal with that. But it was Salt Lake that was just getting dumped. And so I finally got on a flight, all the, you know, just panicked that I wasn't going to make it to the event. And it appears I'm going to make it on the event. And I put the carry-on luggage, gets screened through, and the guy, you know, gets this wand, and he says, now what's in here? And I said, about 10 pounds of smoked citrus. And he said, I need to see it. Whoop. And I open it up, and there's oranges, and there's limes. And he said, what is this? And I said, I'm doing this event and everything. And the guy had a little bit of an edge to him. And I said, all right, right on. And he goes, what's the name of the business? And he lifts his head up and he sees my hat. And he goes, which one is it? Positive vibes or CR citrus? And I said, you know what, my friend? I'm working so they're one of the same. And he looked at me and said, oh, all right. And he just cracked a little bit. And I'm like, that's what positive vibes do. Just break them down just a little bit. So that was all right. That was all right. Yeah.
Look, I'm feeling it, man. I'm feeling those positive vibes. And it's your personality. It's your warmth. It's your humility. It's being genuine about just how you look at life. But this little piece of fruit, this little slice, and how you treat it and how you get the most out of it, it's that, hey, I get to share a little bit of who you are. And, you know, you're sharing a little bit of who you are in every time somebody puts one of these either in a cocktail, or like you said, a sparkling beverage or water, where they eat them like me, just one at a time, popping them like their fruit roll-ups or whatever.
Yeah.
But that's, you lift my spirit. You make my life better. And I know that sounds so, oh my God, it's just a piece, but that's what you bring to the world. You make people's lives better. You make that cocktail better. You make that drink better. And again, we're going back to Barcon in Brooklyn, meeting you, sharing what you make and what you get to produce for the world to spread your positive vibe. So you've already added, hey, we make nuts, but you know, for understanding what else, or what's that future look like for Daniel Hare and CR Citrus and Smoke and Connie, what can we expect to see on that website or to see you toting around through an airport sometime soon?
No, that's a great one. I don't want to be over logoed, but I always have a bandana in my pocket with CR Citrus. I always have the hat and seemingly always on. I'm all about the brand, and I'd be remiss if I didn't. That is entirely. I knew that as this was launching, that I wanted to continue. That was the first thing I was really going to invest in. The product spoke for itself, but to get that name out, I wanted to have good, clean, accessible, hip style, just kind of a cool California vibe. A company called Anderson Brothers out of Seal Beach, they took me in when nobody else, when I had no business sitting at that table, because they deal with big time breweries and distilleries and major, major companies. But they're like, we kind of like what you do. And I went down and met those guys and Aaron and Mike and I'm going to get the dude's name. The Anderson brothers and Aaron. How's that? Aaron is my boy. They just said, hey, listen, we're down with this. We're kind of old surf culture, skate culture, kind of California beach vibe. Let's build it out of here. And now all of a sudden, that's where I had an incredible artist, Eric Flieger, come up with the original logo. And then they just took that and ran and said, how about positive vibes? How about, Estid and Altadena? How about the fruit abides? I said I was an old English teacher. I was also used to write headlines. So I love, from grove to glass, the fruit abides, it's not a garnish. It's a lifestyle. I love, guaranteed to fight scurvy. We got a million of them, Rich. So the scurvy one, that's a good one, because that's taking people down every day. it's good to know. but I was a t-shirt guy because I was classically trained by a t-shirt guy. My old man, you knew it was the weekend when he had his t-shirt on and he was, mowing the lawn and drinking Olympia beer out in the backyard. To put a t-shirt on meant I'm comfortable where I am, but I've earned it. So to get the gear and to put CR Citrus, which had that deep connection to his childhood home, and to bring gear, a hat, a t-shirt, a sticker, to my old man, who, as much as he loved California, he couldn't come to visit at the tail end of his life. That was really special, and he would wear that. And to me, it's just a matter of continuing that branding. I think they've always got stuff in play. I think, Rich, in a perfect world, I really start, as much as I'm developing in California, I really think that there's opportunities in Austin, Texas. I'd love to connect with regards to access to those ruby red grapefruits. I think there's a future there. And who knows? I think fruit-wise, I can't see, grapefruits are really interesting. I just can't see thinking about much more. I just want to work on continuing my access to that fruit and continuing to find new people to share it with.
What I recognize is, Daniel, that this business that you now have, this passion, encompasses so many people. There's so many stories behind, as you talked about, the brand. So many people that you've brought on and have brought you along on the way. And I think for people to understand that, that is what makes these so even more special. It makes you even more special.
No, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I off of that, so many people that from the gentle nudge of, hey, I'd love to try that, or can I buy a bag? I love that I have met friends through, as customers have become friends and friends become customers, that duality. First and foremost, my wife, who saw me at the tail end of a 26-year career in education, just recognized that the passion that used to be standing in the front of the class teaching Hemingway didn't exist anymore. And the passion's still there. You just got to find another game to play. And so this became that, and it wasn't instantaneous. It was the byproduct of years of support, love and support then, and continued. I'd say the first person to teach me about flavor was my mom. And growing up in Cincinnati and Dayton, Ohio, and she growing up in California, and she insisted that we learn about the amazing food and flavor of Mexican food. And so that kind of introduced me to that incredible piece. And she's been an incredible support as well. My sisters and their, hey, we're doing an event. We'd love for you to come and be a part of it. I could just keep going and say, everybody who looks at it and says, you're doing what? And I have this conversation a lot, Rich, right? So people say, so what do you do for a living? You know, you're at a cocktail party. What are you doing at it for a living? And I love to do a little work behind the scenes and say, I'm in your glass right now.
Hey, move on.
This guy's hammered. I said,
well, stick around. This could get even more entertaining. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. I am a small, a very small man inside your glass. So I just look at it. A final person is Christine Moore, a dear, dear friend who is a restaurateur in Pasadena. And throughout it all, I always would bring food. I had years of tasting and loving her food from her and from her restaurant. But to be able to bring food to her and bring flavors to her and truly valuing her opinion and having her say, listen, my man, and she's like a sister to me. This is something special. And she's always been there, whether it's just, you know, an honest review of something, support, just through it all. But, you know, letting me borrow a vacuum pack machine so I could, you know, start to monetize this thing. And her whole industry started with handmade caramels. And you look at that and you say, you know, she's built quite a life for herself. And so she's an inspiration on so many levels.
I imagine Ernest Hemingway, after you taught him for so many years, would be very proud to know what you're doing in the world. He was an adventurer, right? And you're out on an adventure all the time. Look, Daniel, this has been a treat for me to spend some time with you today and share, like I said, just enjoy these while we're talking, learning more about you. I can't wait to see you again in person. It either means we need to come out to California or we just need to know when you're going to be on the East Coast to connect. But
I would love it.
Just really appreciate everything you're doing. And we're grateful that you're a friend of Fermented Adventure. And I can't wait to see that new iteration. Whatever secret product you're testing now, I can't wait to see it and enjoy that as well. And we're going to hang up and I'm going to go order some cherries.
Wonderful. No, I don't even want you to order them. I'll send them out.
People are going to get the idea. If they listen to the podcast, you'll just start sending them to them. Hey, I listen to that podcast, Daniel. Send me my cherries.
Yeah, no COD. I want you to eat the charges. Yeah,
exactly.
So,
all right. Thank you, sir. I wish you just the vibes, man. You just keep spreading those positive vibes to everybody.
Love it. Love it. Thank you, Rich. All my best to Don. And I will follow up with some gear for you.
So, all right. Thank you so much.
Of course.